Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Hank Azaria, and the Michael K. Show starts now on 98.7 ESPN. Have a great show, boys. Hey, Don, let's go Mets.
Thank you, Hank. Hey there, everybody. How you doing? This is the Michael K. Show. It's a snowy Tuesday, March 14th, 2023. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, we are with you. We are ready to go till 7 o'clock. We are going to give you the best show you could possibly have. Welcome to 98.7 ESPN. Everybody, hope you're doing well. And again, we will start with Aaron Rodgers. And why not? It's a story that keeps giving. Now, people are saying, you know, Don does an imitation of people that want us to talk about baseball at this point. Listen, I'd love to talk about baseball, but the story is Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers still has not made a decision. Now it's being reported that he has given the Jets a wish list of people that he wants on the team. So looks like they could be close to bringing in Lazard. He wants Mercedes Lewis. He wants Randall Cobb. He also has asked for Odell Beckham Jr.
Why not?
So some people are rolling their eyes. You know, what a nozzle this guy is. And all I could say is he knows he has the Jets right where he wants them. So why wouldn't he ask them for the world? Why wouldn't he ask them for anything that makes him comfortable? He wants these guys to come in and teach the younger guys how he does things, where he puts the ball, where he wants them to run routes, what he's really thinking, rather than him having to be the teacher. He just is looking for a level of comfort, and he's asking the Jets to get it for him. And I will tell you this. This is one thing that I will be somewhat negative on. I would assume that he told the Jets, all right, I'm coming. These are the guys I want you to get. Now, if they're getting these guys without a commitment from him, and then he decides to not play football, then they're stooges. They really are. Then they've been played in the biggest way possible. But if they know he's coming, you know what? Get him what he wants.
Yeah, you have to. What are you supposed to do? What's the alternative? You're going to let Mercedes Lewis stand in the way of you getting your forever quarterback, the guy that's supposed to try to lead you to a championship? Now, I hope it doesn't come at the expense of playing time for some really good Jets. You could say, well, what's Lewis and Cobb and going to do at their stages of their career? Well, they still have to take up money. They still have to take up a roster spot. They're already going to have to let some guys go to fit in Rodgers to begin with, so I'd hate to see some really good Jets get shown the door or complain they're not getting the ball because Rodgers' cronies are getting the ball. I mean, we already saw Elijah Moore complain last year when they were winning that he wasn't getting the ball. Is he going to have to take a back seat while Odell Beckham Jr. gets his reps and Cobb gets his reps and Lewis gets his reps? So I don't want to see that happen, but what else are you supposed to do if you're the Jets?
No, you do what he wants them to do.
I mean,
they put themselves in this situation by making a horrific second pick in the draft and bringing in Zach Wilson. Now they're desperate, and desperate teams do desperate things. And if the guy said, I want you to do this, I want you to do that, I want you to bring in Don Majkowski as the backup, then you do it.
I got to tell you.
That would be something.
You'd sell some tickets. That would be interesting.
You would. Also, our sales staff is on this right now. You know how good they are.
Oh, the best.
They're actually asking Mercedes-Benz of White Plains and Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle whether or not they could be you called Mercedes-Benz for Mercedes
right.
Lewis. So everything's rolling right now. We're ready, baby. We are ready for this.
And if the guy wants it,
he wants it.
And this is not, you know, I'll marry you if you buy me a Porsche. It's not creature comforts. It's comforts because he wants to come here and be successful, right? He wants to come here and have guys that are going to help him be the best that he can be to help the Jets win, right? Now, if it's a selfish reason to go out there and win the MVP, well, the Jets still benefit from that.
I think it's coming
from a place of being this being successful.
I was wondering, you know, if you get Alan Lazard, right, and if you get Odell Beckham Jr., you are probably going to lose some targets for Garrett Wilson. I wonder if Garrett's, you know, really happy about burning cheeseheads now, because there's a ramification for everything. I want him. Well, you know what? Now you might not get as many. You might not get as many looks. Now the future of the Jets is Garrett Wilson, but what's going to happen in year two of his career? Is he going to be lessened? Is he going to be less of a threat? Is he going to be looked at less? I don't know. I wonder if he's reconsidering that whole seance to bring Aaron Rodgers here. Mm-hmm. One more time, all of this would lead you to believe that he is coming. There's no doubt. If the Jets are doing this stuff, if they're making an offer to Alan Lazard and they're looking into the other guys, then he's told them, you get me these guys, I'm coming. So I understand the creature comforts of Lazard, Mercedes Lewis, who I believe is 39 years old.
Yeah, he's not a spring chicken.
Right, and then Alan Lazard, okay, those are guys he played with in Green Bay. Get it. Understand. I'm co-sign on it. But Odell?
I would argue
you need Odell?
I would argue Odell in some ways would make more sense than Randall Cobb. I hear you, because, like, who knows why Odell, but maybe that could be he just believes in what he still has to give.
Yeah.
Randall Cobb's a good locker room guy, but how much is he giving you right now? I think we'd all agree the upside for OBJ is much higher.
We don't know, though. This is his second major knee surgery.
No, I understand, but if he comes back well from his injury, Don, you would agree he's going to give you more at that position right now than Randall Cobb is.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that. And he knows the system, and that's why he wants him to come in here. He wants it to work, guys. I mean, that ultimately has to be the positive here. He's not being a nozzle for nozzle's sake. He's being a nozzle in the sense of, I want to be as comfortable as possible. I want to be able to have this transition be as easy as possible because I want to succeed. I don't want to come here just to come here. I want to come here to win. And that's got to make you feel good. The only negative byproduct, and we want to talk to Mike Tannenbaum later on, is this logistically possible? Can you fit these guys in? Are you going to have to maybe let a guy go that you otherwise wouldn't let go under different circumstances? So that would be the only negative of having a player you want to keep, you're going to have to cut to make Rodgers happy.
Well, Cobb, you know, is not a terrible player, and he is a security blanket for Rodgers. So even if he's not a great player anymore, what he is he's going to be able to tell Garrett Wilson, this is what Aaron likes to do. And one other thing, we're not denying the fact, Aaron Rodgers, everybody, he's a diva. And there are divas in every walk of life. There just are. And divas demand things, and sometimes they get them, and sometimes they don't. And when they don't get them, they probably don't perform as well. So if you're going to go and get yourself a diva, who is a really great player, but a diva nonetheless, right, you're going to have to acquiesce to his demands. I'm sorry, you are. And if you don't, then you don't get him. You can't play in that part of the sandbox. He is what he is. He wants to be comfortable. The problem last year with Green Bay is he didn't have a lot of the creature comforts that he wanted. And he had to work and break in a couple of, you know, young wide receivers, and he didn't like doing that. This guy is not a nurturer. He's not. He's looking to win another Super Bowl.
Right.
And not make friends.
We've seen it before, Michael, in football with coaches. Wherever Bill Parcells went, he'd bring his assistant coaches with him. It seemed like when he went to the Jets, there were a bunch of former Giants on the team. When he went to New England, right, there were former Giants on the team. Pepper Johnson followed him there. I remember when Bill Belichick went to Cleveland, he was able to get Carl Banks to go with him. Like, you want to bring people that you're familiar with, that you've worked with before, to make the transition that much easier. I think that's what he's looking at. So we can look at it being diva or nozzly, but maybe it's just a case of, hey, I'm leaving Green Bay. I'm leaving an organization for the first time in my career, 18 years in Green Bay. I'm going to go to someplace different for the first time since I was drafted. I want to make sure that transition is comfortable as possible. Makes sense.
Now, one of the greatest divas in entertainment is Barbra Streisand. Mm-hmm. So Barbra Streisand refuses to be on a television show where she is shot, camera-wise, on her right side. She doesn't like her right side, how her nose looks, or whatever. And she doesn't do many television interviews because of that. Because most television talk shows are set up with the desk and then the chair on the right. So Jimmy Fallon got her to come on the show. And you know what he did? He switched it around. Wouldn't do that for anybody else. He switched it around. The desk went on the other side. That's what you do for divas.
How bad do you want Barbra Streisand?
Right. Nope. Enough to change the set.
In the case of one of you guys, really badly, which was you, Don?
Oh, Don's a big Barbara.
You always liked Babs. You still do.
I still do. I've always loved her music.
And?
And early 70s Babs is hot.
you know what? Early 20s Babs is hot. I don't care what you say.
He meant the time period.
No, I was talking about the era, Mike. I was talking about years. Like 1972, what's up,
Doc? No, I know
Doc?
What you're talking about. I'm saying early 2023, she's still a very attractive woman.
Oh, wow. That was deep.
I'm good, but I'm focused more in my wheelhouse.
No, good for you. Now, the Giants actually made a move today, and it's a good one. They got Darren Waller from the Las Vegas Raiders. This is according to Schefter. The Giants sent a third-round draft pick, the number one overall pick, to the Raiders, and that was the pick they got for Kadarius Toney from Kansas City. So that's a good pickup. He's 30 years old, and get this, he's under contract for the next four seasons.
Good.
Thanks to a three-year, $51 million extension he signed with the Raiders last September. I like it. 6'6", appeared in just 9 games last season. He was a great tight end, but then injuries kind of slowed him down. He had 28 catches, 388 yards, and 3 touchdowns. But the guy, when healthy, is very, very good. Had back-to-back seasons over 1,000 yards in 19 and 20. But again, multiple injuries over the past two seasons. He's held to only 20 games, but if they can get him healthy, that was a little bit of a weakness for Daniel Jones last year. He needs a tight end, and the bottom line is they got themselves a legitimate tight end.
This team's been chasing after tight ends for a decade, Michael, so hopefully this is something that's going to stick. And with, at least contract-wise, it's got a chance. We'll see if he can stay healthy.
And he made the Pro Bowl in 2020, so Giants making some nice moves. They signed a, you know, an inside linebacker yesterday, which everybody likes, and he's a good player from the Colts. So they don't have a lot of money to spend, but they're spending judiciously, which is smart. All right, very quickly, it's a busy sports day, everybody. So let's look at Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. We have the Rangers and the Capitals. That's at the Garden, a 7 o'clock start. Don's doing the play-by-play. The pregame show is at 6:30 on 10:50 a.m., and then Don will call all the action at 7 on 10:50. You've got the Devils and the Lightning. That's a 7 o'clock start. You have the Nets and the Thunder. That's in Oklahoma City. That's 8 p.m., 7:30 pregame on the YES Network, 8 p.m. game time. Then the New York Knicks finish their West Coast swing in Portland against the Trailblazers. That's a 10 p.m. start, 9:30 pregame right here on 98.7 ESPN, 10 o'clock tip. And then the Islanders in L.A. against the Kings. That's a 10:30 start, 10 o'clock pregame on 10:50, and the puck will drop at 10:30. So it's a busy, busy day. That's Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. All right, you guys ready? You ready for some phone calls? See what people think? See if Don could be rude to anybody today?
I wasn't rude to anybody yesterday.
Yeah, what are you referring to?
You were rude to that guy, Vinny.
Well, he deserved
it. No, he didn't. He just disagreed with you. When he disagrees with you, you don't have to be rude.
No, he was talking over us. He wouldn't. He wasn't making his point. He was arrogant, and I shot him down, and rightfully so. I enjoyed every second of it. So did Peter.
I don't understand how you could even see it as anything, but a great call by Don.
You really? Do not win arguments talking over me, okay?
He was awful, that Vinny.
I think he was a caller who didn't agree with us. That doesn't mean we have to be rude.
Do you really think that? Because
if so,
we should relive this whole thing later, because he was immediately rude and talking over everyone.
Well, okay. If that's how you treat people in your house, that's okay.
In our house? I would never let that piece of human filth in my house.
Right. I would drag him out by his hair if he was in my house.
What do you mean? Don, there have been a lot of crazy takes from Michael over the years. Defending Vinny's way near the top.
Okay, good. Then I'm glad. As Don said, I'm good, and I embrace my take, and that's all there is to it. You embrace your take.
Well, we revisit it because we can further embarrass you.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I wouldn't be embarrassed. I feel strongly about it.
I think we should play a clip and then run it up the poll.
Well, we'll do it later. Let's go to the poll.
Fine.
Let's go to Mike in Bridgewater. Mike.
Hey,
Mike.
Guys, how's it going?
Good.
What's up, baby?
Yeah, so just a take on Aaron Rodgers. I've been a Jets fan for 15 years. I think it's kind of just give him what he wants. I think bringing in Mercedes Lewis, it's a vet men deal. Same thing with Randall Cobb. I think both of these guys are just a personality and kind of testing the Jets front office and seeing what they'll actually do for him. I don't really think the Odell thing has too much traction, and Lazard, I think, does have a lot of traction. I think he can actually provide value, a little bit of mentorship toward like Garrett Wilson, even Elijah Moore in the slot. But I think it's kind of just ask and kind of show the limits that you're going to provide to him. You don't need to bring everyone in, but show him you will listen a little bit and give him a test, give him Lazard and give him Cobb and move on from there.
You know what it is, Mike? The one of the things that got between Rodgers and Green Bay is that they didn't do everything that he wanted. They didn't make the draft picks that he wanted. They drafted Love when he felt that they could draft somebody that could help right away rather than draft a quarterback of the future. So the Jets are showing we're not like that. Don joked about it the other day when the Jets flew out to talk with him that Rodgers could actually tell Woody, dance in front of me. I want you. And you know what? They would do it. They have sold their soul because they're desperate. They need this guy. They are without a quarterback in a quarterback's league. If they don't get Aaron Rodgers, who are the free agents left? You got the dabble in Baker Mayfield? Think about it.
The idea is try to make this work. Now, the question is, what if they can't? What if they're not going to pay for Odell? They're not going to overpay for Odell. Would he walk? Or would he go, you got me, three of the four guys I want, I'm good. How hard a line is Rodgers going to draw here? Is it all or nothing? Is it some? Or at least make an effort, help me out? I don't know. Are they clear demands or suggestions? I don't know.
But as I said earlier, Don, if he didn't say, you get me a couple of these guys, I'm coming, and they get a couple of these guys, and then he decides not to play, then they got played. They look ridiculous. So that's why I think this is, as Trey Wingo said, a done deal. I love people killing Trey Wingo. Well, he was wrong. No, he's not wrong. You know when he's wrong? If they don't sign him, if they don't make the trade. But if they make the trade 3 days from now, it might have been a done deal yesterday. He wasn't wrong. He's not wrong until he doesn't show up.
But you have to admit, it doesn't look great when it still hasn't happened.
But he just said it's a done deal. He didn't say they were going to announce it today. But I think Don and I are on the same page. I think it is a done deal. I think they're just waiting to announce it.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
No, because before we heard the list, right, earlier today there were reports that the Jets were interested in Lazard. So I think this stuff was all talked about in California last week. And it's starting to get leaked out because now I think the Jets are going to be in position to sign a lot of these guys. It's just a matter of making the announcement. So I think Trey is going to be proven right on this.
All right, we're going to get to your calls in a moment. I have a quick Diamond Notes brought to you by London Jewelers, and it's not good news. According to Anthony DiComo of MLB.com, covers the Mets, Jose Quintana has a lesion on his rib, according to Mets GM Billy Epler. He was seen by a tumor specialist, and the results of a biopsy came back benign. However, Quintana is going to undergo bone graft surgery. The Mets are not expecting him back until at least July. That's awful news and also good news at the same time, that it came back benign. But the fact that he had a lesion on the rib, wow. So they're going to have to do at least a half of the season with Peterson or McGill. McGill pitched really well last year in April, Don, until he got fatigued. So they've got some backup there. They go about seven or eight deep, so I think they're okay.
You can't be arrogant enough to think that somebody isn't going to get hurt during the course of the year. So you just hate to have to start the season already going to plan B and C.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Ralph in Coney Island. Ralph.
Thank you, Michael, for taking the call. I want to comment on the passing of Joe Pepitone. Joe and I played together in the Coney Island League and the Parade Ground League. I was there the day he signed his Yankee contract. He was a class act. I also want to comment on your stance on profanity on the air. Totally agree with you. You're a class act. Continue the good work.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's very nice. What a nice call. Let's go to Rob in Nyack. Rob.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Yeah, just about the Rodgers thing. I'm thinking, if I remember correctly, we all liked Sean Marks and Kenny Atkinson and the young core the Mets had going on. And I get it's a little bit of a different situation here, but you're bringing in a guy who has interesting personality, to say the least, who has a list of not demands but things he's looking for. I get you say like sign Cobb over something like that. I'm not a Jets fan, by the way. It gives me bad vibes coming off of everything that happened with the Nets. I don't see it going well, but
well,
I'd like to hear your guys' thoughts on the comparison.
I can see the parallel that you're making, but you're not destroying the culture. Okay, for everything we've heard, Lazard is a good locker room guy. Randall Cobb is a good locker room guy. Mercedes Lewis has been in the league forever. He's 39 years old, so obviously he's done something right. And Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. But you're not destroying the core of the team. The Nets, what they did was they destroyed the core of the team. They got rid of the coach. They got rid of players that were part of the culture that they were building, and they changed everything for two guys. I don't think the Jets are going to change the way they do things or reinvent the wheel because of Aaron Rodgers.
No.
Aaron Rodgers, they look at as the last piece.
That's why I want to talk to Mike Tannenbaum just to see how this works cap-wise. Because it's all about leverage, right? So I don't think they would go crazy giving Odell a ton of money. But if he's the difference of getting Rodgers or not, Odell might hold out for more. So they might have to overpay for Odell.
Yeah, you do have that problem.
Yeah, and I think it's a good point by the caller. Not like a Jet fan who's scared of something, but someone who objectively on the outside says, there are some similarities here that I have some pause about. I do think that's a reasonable take given who Rodgers has been of recent.
And what if like Joe Douglas is not an Odell guy? Doesn't like him. Doesn't think he's good for the room. You know, is that culture changing, Michael, if he's got to hold his nose to sign a player he otherwise wouldn't be interested in? I don't know if he is or isn't. I'm just, you know, so that's – and you're going to have to do it because you're all in on Rodgers, but it could – I think Peter's right, and the caller, it's enough to send up a little bit of a red flag to make sure you're not completely changing what is a really good team without a good quarterback.
Dan in New Jersey. Dan.
How's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
What's up?
Can't complain. Giants just traded for Darren Waller. Joe Shane being the better GM than Joe Douglas. He's light years ahead, I'd say. How do you guys feel about that?
Well, I mean, first of all, they're both incomplete grades because you could look at Joe Shane and go, well, he made a bad mistake not picking up the fifth-year option on Daniel Jones. Look what it cost the organization. Everything he's done so far has been great, including hiring Brian Daboll. Joe Douglas will have a stain on his resume forever because he picked Zach Wilson with the second pick in the draft. But, boy, there are a lot of other good things that he's done. I mean, he has restocked this roster.
Yeah.
He picked the offensive and defensive rookie of the years in one draft. That's a home run right there.
Hold on, bud. Let's slow down.
What?
I like Waller as a player. But there's a reason he was available, is that it's been a couple of years of injuries now for Waller. It's not like it's a guaranteed great move. And furthermore, I just got to say this. I understand the Giants had a better performance last year. Joe Douglas has put together the better team. That's a fact. That team is more complete than the Giants,
period. You're right. But, Peter, you can't get out from under that pick of Wilson. You can't. They're in this dire situation because they just, they completely whiffed on an ultra-important pick.
Huge.
That's a legacy maker.
No, listen, it's a bad move, and he deserves to be downgraded for it. But also remember, they've put together a great roster and have enough cap space to go after a guy who really no one else in the league can even go after.
No, that's fair.
I think it's incomplete. What Shane's been here a year. He's had one draft, one free agent class. This is his second free agent class coming up on a second draft. Let's see. Because this is what Douglas's fourth year. You know, Shane's second. So I think there's a little extra work that Douglas has been able to put in to build that roster. Do I think that Shane could have a comparable roster in a couple of years? I do. But right now, I think it's kind of unfair because Douglas has had a little bit more time to build that roster.
John in Phillipsburg. John.
Hey, couple of quick points, and then I wanted to compliment Don on something. So, I'm operating that Aaron Rodgers has come to the Jets just because when Wingo is making that tweet, I'm just thinking that it might actually be something where Rodgers doesn't necessarily want this kind of information to go through the normal channels. So, with us getting Rodgers, one of the things that I underestimated was just like how all of this cap restructuring would come into play. I was initially just thinking that we would basically just get Rodgers, we would be tied up with cap, and that would be it. But we're changing contracts around. We're potentially bringing in additional, members of the team. So this is really exciting. And Don, you really are hitting the nail on the head with the psyche of Jets fans because, I called about this, about a month ago, and I was leaning towards Carr, and that pit pull that you brought up that Jets fans are feeling. I feel that right now, right? Like if this all blows up in our face, and we're going to be this laughing stock, can't win with Aaron Rodgers, same old Jets this, same old Jets that. But we're swinging for the fences, and I'm really excited about this. We laid a nice foundation, and this is putting us in the mix. So I'm really pumped up.
Well,
yeah, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, right?
Yeah, you know what? I think Woody told Joe Douglas is who I want. Woody is a star guy. Woody wants a star. Aaron Rodgers is the biggest star there. Now, you could say Lamar Jackson is too.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say he probably appeals to a younger fan base. And Aaron Rodgers, I think, appeals to football fans' appreciation of history that he's that good. I think Woody said, I want Aaron Rodgers. That's it. And the GM has to do his bidding. If he's against it, he could tell Woody why he's against it. But obviously, the owner owns the team. That's what he wants. Let's go to Jonathan in Brooklyn. Jonathan.
Hey, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Love you guys. Keep doing what you're doing. Don, nice. Huge Rangers fan. You're amazing. Just wanted to bring up the Rodgers situation. Just like something I heard, I don't know what you guys know about or what insight you could put in on this. But just from what I've heard, the holdup was potentially until March 17th because he has that contract option clause, which can only be exercised on the 17th. And maybe they're trying to potentially get it like reworked possibly so they could make it more cap friendly so they could bring in more people that he wants.
I'm sure that there's something to it. What I believe, Jonathan, is that he's coming to the Jets. I would be absolutely blown away if he's not coming to the Jets. So whether they have to rework something or make him more comfortable or bring more people in that make him comfortable, I think he has agreed that he is coming to the Jets because they'd be fools if they were doing all the stuff and they didn't have an assurance from him that he was coming.
Right. You don't want the Boomer Esiason thing. Right, where Reggie White comes to visit the Jets and says, boy, I'd sign with you if you had a quarterback. They run out, sign Boomer Esiason, and then Reggie White signs with the Packers. I don't think that's going to happen, but, yeah, you don't want to start bringing players in and then, now I'm good. What are you going to do with these guys without Rodgers?
Absolutely. Hey, Gordon Damer is going to be broadcasting live from the Sportsbook at Mohegan Sun Casino on Saturday, April 1st, starting at 3 p.m. Gordon's good company. You'll like Gordon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So stay tuned to learn how you could score an overnight stay plus a $200 food and beverage credit. I love the Mohegan Sun. I always have. Presented by MohegansunCasino.com. Play your favorite casino games in the palm of your hand anywhere in Connecticut. You must be 21 or older to participate. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.com. Rogers.org. All right, let me get in one more call. Brian in Bridgewater. Brian.
Oh.
Oh, no. Because you know what? He wanted to ask about the Rangers, which would lead me into, you know, talking about our next guest, which is Mark Messier. So it's kind of a two-pronged guest because we're going to talk about how, while the Rangers are playing, Mark is in the, on the call tonight with Steve Levy. But also, Don, this is a big-time guy who brought greatness to New York. What is Aaron Rodgers looking at? Mark Messier can answer that.
Yeah, to slay the dragon, to get he was trying to end the chance in 1940. So what was that like, the pressure that it was like? He can completely answer to that. And also answer to the fact that, Michael, when you take a look at that 94 team, a lot of former Edmonton Oilers, a lot of players that won cups with Messier in Edmonton. Now, I'm not sure he demanded that.
We can ask
Neil
him.
But Neil Smith wanted to make sure Mark was comfortable. And that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to win, and you're trying to make the player that's going to help you win as comfortable and the transition as easy as possible. So Mark can definitely answer to that. And he's also calling the game with Leaves, as you said, tonight between the Caps and the Rangers.
Oh, so, yeah, baby.
Good spot coming up.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Mark Messier is nice enough to join us now on the Michael K. Show. Mark, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing great. Great to be on with you guys.
So the Rangers are look like they've stubbed their toe just a little bit of late. With Kane coming in, a lot of the things that you see him read, he doesn't seem comfortable yet. How difficult is it of a transition for Patrick Kane, who's done one thing his whole career in one place, now to put on a new sweater?
Oh, a massive transition. You know, I can't even imagine what he's going through right now. Personally, I mean, when I came to New York, it was at the start of the season. I was, you know, just so thrilled to be traded, but I had all season to kind of get myself familiar, and even with that, it took 3 years to kind of get things organized. So he's drinking through a funnel right now, and you know, with a month to go into the regular season, into the playoffs. So this is going to be not an easy transition for him or the team. I've said before, anytime that you take and change the, you know, the chemistry with your top players, it's a lot longer simulation into the team and in the chemistry of the team than someone perhaps that's more of a role player in the bottom six. So the Rangers are definitely a better team on paper, but they're going to have to figure out a way to make it transition it onto the ice.
And Mark, the catch 22 for me is you're looking for continuity, but at the same time, you're trying to win games. So Coach Gallant's been changing lines around, trying to find the right combination to produce goals to win the moment. But how disconcerting can that be for Kane or even Tarasenko, who's only been here for about a month, to get acclimated when you're playing with different line mates all the time?
Well, it's going to be a hard transition for everybody. You know, if you think about the players that they brought in last year at the trade deadline, a lot of them were kind of really support players, role players, and it didn't really upset the chemistry of the team from the top and on the power play. I guess maybe Kopp at times played some power play, but you know, these two players coming in is a completely different animal. And you know, both great players. The Rangers had a void in their top six. They needed to supplement that top six in order to really compete in the tough Eastern Division. So I think they addressed that. But at the same time, you know, there's just so many nuances and things that take a long time to figure out. From a chemistry standpoint, playing with players, and certainly on the power play and things like that. And the other thing is that, you know, you can get caught kind of trying to divert to the next guy instead of taking the bull by the horns yourself. And so we're seeing all this right now. It's going to take some time. You know, I think everybody has to take a deep breath and understand what they're up against. But, you know, I think the players are good enough. Obviously, the team is good enough with a great goalie, great defense. And I think there's time for it, them to come together as a team.
Mark, and we're talking with Mark Messier, six-time Stanley Cup champion here on the Michael K. Show. Mark, is everybody just playing for runner-up? Is anybody even able to beat Boston, in your opinion?
No question. I think the East is wide open. I think Boston's had a tremendous year, but every team has their strengths and weaknesses, and everything has gone right for Boston this year. You know, they had some injuries early, and I, for one, thought that if they could just hold their head above 500 till they got healthy again, they would be a playoff team. I don't think anybody saw the kind of year that they've had coming at the start of the season. It's been remarkable. The consistency, the goaltending, the depth that they've had on the team, and then at the trade deadline, getting even more depth, adding Orlov. I mean, it's just everything's gone right for them this year. But I don't look at them as a shoo-in in the East. I think there's many teams in the East that can come out of there, and the Rangers being one of them.
How surprised are you by New Jersey, and do you think it's sustainable?
I do. I think you can't have the kind of season that they've had and the consistent play that they've had without all the tools that you need on a team in order to do that. You know, at times they've had the struggles in goal, but they've seemed to rectify that. They got a great mobile, young, big defense. Jack Hughes is emerging as one of the best players in the league, top five players in the league. And they got a lot of skill and they play fast. And it's just going to be really interesting to see that, because as we know, playoff hockey is a lot different than the regular season. Teams in the best of seven, you know, try to take away your strengths and expose your weaknesses. And do you have the kind of team that can stand up to not only one game seven series, but four game seven series there and have the power and stay healthy? So it's a fascinating time for the NHL with so many teams that are actually, you know, able to win the Stanley Cup. And I think that's why you saw so much movement at the deadline, because people really, or teams really, felt they have a chance this year.
All right. So, Mark, obviously the big point of conversation for the last couple of weeks has been Aaron Rodgers. So you came here, you had already created your star. You won five Stanley Cups in Edmonton. You came here, you got the one that had eluded New York forever. What would you tell Aaron Rodgers? You know, he's got his Super Bowl in Green Bay. What would you tell him about coming here and the pressure that he's going to face?
Well, I mean, there's no question that coming to New York, the expectations are incredible. You know, you think about the history of the teams, certainly for me coming to New York and understanding the passion behind the franchise, generations of fans that had never seen a Stanley Cup and the expectations that went along with it. And I think, for me, I just relished that opportunity. I mean, it was something that I really wanted to do. I mean, I understood, you know, the press. I understood that, you know, I was old enough at the time, 31, and probably the perfect time for me to come here, to be honest with you, to tackle that endeavor. And sure enough, I was surrounded by great people and great ownership and great management at the time to make it happen. But, you know, I don't know if I would tell Aaron anything other than, you know, don't underestimate the amount of pressure that will be on you when you come to New York and play for a team like the Jets. And I think from everything I know about Aaron, that he's a guy that can handle it, probably relishes it, and it'll be interesting to see if indeed he does come here.
And, you know, there are reports that, you know, he's got a wish list of players that he wants the Jets to go out and get, guys that he had played with before or know the system. When you came here, I don't know whether it was by design or just coincidence, how comfortable was it for you to play with so many former Oilers?
Well, that was massive. You know, first and foremost, the familiarity with those guys when they came at the deadline. Bucher, Boom, and Graves obviously being here and winning Stanley Cups for them before, so... You know, you got a voice that can kind of carry the message to the other players, and you know, they know how to react to you. I think, you know, when we got Lolo and McTavish and Tikkanen and Anderson and guys like that, you know, those are really hardened warriors. And for Aaron, when the pressure is going to be on him, it's really important that he's insulated with guys that he trusts and is comfortable with. And look, I didn't know Brian Leetch when I came here, and he's ended up being one of the greatest players I've ever played with, the toughest player I've ever played with. I didn't know Mike Richter. And so you also got to give the guys that are in uniform and on the team right now an opportunity to earn your trust as well. So, yeah, it's good to bring in guys, you know, outside that you know and trust, but you also have to make sure that you know what you have in uniform already. And I'm sure there's some great players, obviously some great players there that will earn the trust of Rodgers if he doesn't come here.
I'm curious, Mark, did you ask Neil Smith to get those guys? Did you ask him to try to get those guys, or did he feel that that was just the right thing to do to put around you?
Well, contrary to popular belief, I never talked to Neil once about acquiring any player the whole time that I was here. I never bridged or jeopardized the trust that I had with the players that were in uniform and making those or having those kinds of conversations. That's not what a captain does. And I completely left that up to Mike and Neil and the ownership and that was in there in those meetings. They didn't ask me. I didn't offer any opinion. And I don't think as a leader that is an area that you ever want to delve into, especially at that time of year when you have taken that much time to earn the trust of the players that you've surrounded yourself with. So that never happened with me.
All right. So go ahead, Don.
No, go ahead, Michael, please.
Before we let you go, I'm just wondering, you dominated on the ice. When you were playing, did you ever think you'd be broadcasting high above Madison Square Garden a Ranger game?
Well, I didn't, to be honest with you. And even when they reached out to me last year, I wasn't quite sure I wanted to do it. But this one has been one of the best decisions I've made. I'm having such an amazing time at ESPN. I can't tell you how incredible the people have been there to work with, starting with Steve Levy and Chris Chelios and having Mike McQuaid and Mark Schumann, all the guys that have been so incredibly patient with us as we've learned the craft. And in the end, you know, it's connected us to the game again. It's fun. Last year in the playoffs and the finals, it was amazing. And like I said earlier, when I first did it, if I'm going to do it, I want to get good at it. And thankfully, I'm getting coached to the point where hopefully I'm starting to improve and doing a better job tonight. Now, tonight's a different story, doing the play-by-play. That's not easy, so hopefully we can do a good job.
All right, that's on ESPN tonight. Steve Levy, Mark Messier in the booth on the television side. Mark, we always love having you on. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks, that's Mark Messier of the Rangers and the Capitals tonight on ESPN and on 1050 with Don LaGreca doing the play-by-play with Dave Maloney.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.